From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Each month, we check in with Bruce Gordon, President and CEO of the NAACP, and Mark Morial, President and CEO of the National Urban League, to find out what issues they're working on. We should note that normally we have our discussion on the first Monday of every month. We spoke a little earlier this time around because of the Labor Day holiday. Our chat began with the one-year anniversary of Katrina, which we've been commemorating all week on News and Notes. Few people have a better handle on the current situation in New Orleans than Mark Morial, a former mayor of the city. Progress has been made, he says, but not nearly fast enough.
Those who've gotten ahead of the rebuilding curve have done it with their own grit, with their own determination, with their own insurance proceeds or their own savings. And I think it's fair to say that on this anniversary, you can't give the recovery and the rebuilding a good grade in terms of results, but the next 6 to 8 months are going to be critical as homeowners and others get access to the state's housing rehabilitation grants. One thing that's so clear from my visit there is that there is a rebuilding spirit, and the people have been the reason for that.
Mark, where's the hiccup in your opinion? Why aren't we seeing the money move?
I think it's a government bureaucracy that continues to blame the other level. The feds blame the locals blame the state. It's a vicious circle of government bureaucracy. And I think at this point, these levels of government need to recommit that they're going to work much more closely together in order to make things move faster. The second thing is that people would have a lot more confidence in the rebuilding effort if the United States Army Corps of Engineers were to make a commitment to build a strong first-class levee system. They've made repairs. Those repairs have strengthened the levee somewhat, but it isn't what I think the people of southeastern Louisiana deserve in terms of a flood control system, and that's a confidence level going forward that the city will be safer in the event of another hurricane.
Finally, we saw this past Sunday on 60 Minutes, the tour of New Orleans with Mayor Ray Nagin. They went down to the levee system, the, quote, new levee system. He felt that he was satisfied with what he was seeing. You are not.
I'm not fully satisfied. I don't think that what we have now is what we should have 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 years from now. The Dutch levee systems, the Italian levee systems, some of the systems that have been built in Europe are far better. We need a comprehensive flood control system down in Louisiana with a plan to restore the coast, which is the natural protection barrier. And I think that the people and organizations like mine, the National Urban League, have to hold the government accountable long term. This is not just a temporary fix. It's about a long term reconstruction, rebuilding of a better New Orleans and a better southeastern Louisiana and a better southern Mississippi.
Bruce Gordon, I know that you have been on the ground there in that area for quite some time. Over the last few months, you've held town hall meetings and the like. Talk to me about what you and your organization are doing.
We've had, as you point out, Ed, been very active. And I'd like to maybe concentrate some response into Mississippi, because so much of the media attention is on New Orleans for all of the obvious reasons. And in my visit to Mississippi, people oftentimes say, you know, what about us? Now, there's this public perception that things are better in Mississippi. The governor gets lots of credit for being a stronger administrator, but the facts don't support that. The facts are that the governor has committed $3.4 billion in CDBG funds, but it's committed to homeowners who live outside of the FEMA-designated flood zones. In contrast to that, they've only committed $100 million to rebuild public housing in those impacted areas, and they've committed no dollars so far to providing assistance to rental housing, despite the fact that 34% of the damage was in rental housing units. The takeaway in Mississippi, and it's Mark will agree, is the same in Louisiana, in New Orleans, is that the priority seems to be placed on those with resources. But there is no attention being paid, or very little attention being paid, to middle and low-income families, to families in public housing, to families in rental units. So what we have done is to document this. We've worked in both Louisiana and Mississippi with Rutgers University and the Brookings Institute in Mississippi in particular, and Ohio State in New Orleans, and we've documented the findings so that we have very clear statistics. And the role now is to intervene, to advocate at the federal, state, and local levels to break through the bureaucratic logjam and get the funding stream flowing. These are people who, we've got people here who are a year later, and they can't even get their calls returned when they call to check in on where their application for federal funding stands.
Bruce, how concerned are you? We heard it from the mayor in terms of what these cities will become, that we are going to see an entirely different Gulf region, one that is, in the words of many, the playground of the rich, and that poor people are going to lose not only their homestead, but the culture of what was so deep and rich in that area will be gone as well.
I think that if we don't interfere in these normal processes, that is the almost the assured outcome. So am I confident that left unchecked, New Orleans, East Biloxi, Gulfport will return to where they were pre-Katrina? I'm certain that that will not be the case. So we've got to be engaged. I think that there is, and this may be the cynical side of me, I think that there is some segment of the leadership that is trying to wait folks out. They're trying to get people to give up, so that they can come in and take this beachfront property, because that's exactly what it is. Once again, if you look at Gulfport, the casinos are reopening. There's a celebration that the casinos reopening. They used to be required to build their casinos on barges. They've quickly changed the laws so that they can now build new casinos and hotels on
Bruce, who are you referring to when you say that?
Those who would prefer to change the socioeconomic mix of those communities. And I think that they are, at the state, local, and federal level.
Bruce is absolutely on point with his comments because it's the same thing in Louisiana. And here's the frame-up. Southern Mississippi and southeastern Louisiana have become ground zero in what I think we can fairly call the new civil rights movement of the 21st century. And that is an effort by some, and you ask who they are. In New Orleans, it's certain traditional elite interests who, in the early days after the storm, pursued this idea of a smaller footprint, which was code to try to discourage people from returning and, in fact, prevent them from returning to the place of their birth and the place of their heritage. People who were three- and four-generation, five-generation New Orleanians, it was suggested that they shouldn't return because they lived in New Orleans East or the Ninth Ward. I think Bruce is right, and that's why continuous engagement and intervention from a wide range of people all across the nation is going to be necessary to hold government accountable, to protect the right of people to return and to rebuild. I think everyone would like to see a better region, less poverty, but that can't be achieved through a strategy of removal.
Mark, how comfortable are you with the idea that FEMA is ready for another hurricane season?
Based on the information that I have heard, I'm not absolutely comfortable. Now, I could become comfortable if FEMA would be much more engaging with the public and say, here is our plan. I saw David Paulson on television last night talking about the resources and the supplies that they had marshaled. But I think FEMA and the federal government have to do a better job. And I think that FEMA's got to be much more aggressive in talking to people. When I was in New Orleans, people ask, what is the plan? You hear politicians and others saying, we have a plan. But the plan only works if the people know what the plan is, if they clearly understand and they've decided in advance and they've been given information about what they are to do in the event that an evacuation is called or in the event that people are told to be prepared for an evacuation. So there's a lot to do. And what I would say on the whole disaster preparedness and weather preparedness is that it's not only a New Orleans, Louisiana, Mississippi issue. It affects Florida and South Carolina and North Carolina and Alabama and Texas and could affect even regions in the Northeast if a serious hurricane were to traverse itself up the Atlantic coast. But this is a place where we have to see ourselves as playing the role of holding government accountable to do the right thing on an ongoing and a continuous basis. And if it means we've got to irritate the system, we're just going to have to continue to do it.
All right. Very quickly, Bruce Gordon, before we go, two things for you. One, on the voter registration side, the NAACP is attempting to hold the government accountable by making sure that people in this area are registered and ready and able to vote.
That's absolutely right. Our program, Arrive with Five, is really heating up. November 7th is going to prove to be one of the most pivotal elections, I think, in the history of our community. We can't complain about government policymakers if we're not actively choosing who we want to have represent us. So we are very active in getting people to register, getting people to vote, and then when they vote, to vote based on the right information about what we stand for and who they want to have represent them.
And finally, this past week, you announced that the IRS investigation into the NAACP, something that we have followed for some time now, is getting better for the organization. In fact, the IRS is backing off.
The IRS is backing off. We said, Ed, from day one, then this precedes my arrival, but the point is that the whole IRS thing was bogus. It was an attempt to silence the voice of the NAACP. It was an attempt to get us not to speak out on issues that are affecting our community. The IRS's decision clearly reflects the fact that they were wrong, that there was no basis at all, literally no basis at all for an audit. We are free and clear, and it gives us that much more incentive to go out and do the work of the people.
All right. That is good news. Bruce Gordon, president and CEO of the NAACP, and Mark Morial, president and CEO of the National Urban League. As always, gentlemen, thanks.
Thank you.